And I've worked hard at developing the ability to view my circumstances through the lens of who God is.
Mm.
So that way I know if I'm going through something hard or yes. painful or difficult, I don't allow the quality of the circumstances that I'm going through to right. determine in my mind the quality of God's character.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Katie, how are you doing?
Hello. I am mostly good.
Mostly good.
You look tired.
Good. Oh. You look great.
Oh, stop it.
Especially for not getting tons of sleep last night.
Yeah, last night was a bit rough. Yes. Got another sick kid, which yeah. is just insane. This year.
It is.
I don't know what is going on, what they're spraying in the air, but it is too much.
It's crazy how many, and they're like, it's not just us because we have friends too, that the kids are just like in a constant cycle of being sick.
Yes.
And it's like, maybe we have a week or two off, but then it's like we hop
back into it. And even on those like off weeks, like everybody's still coughing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't get an off week.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yep.
Oh, and normally we have like pretty good immune systems, I feel like.
I feel like historically we've killed it.
We'll have like one sick week.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yeah.
But this year, it's just been like every week.
Yes.
Like, what?
I'm ready for that to be over.
Oh, but yeah. So not a lot of sleep, but that's all right. We're here. We're doing it. Thankfully, Ollie slept better. So when the baby sleeps a little bit better,
yes,
that helps he for sure.
Well. Yeah.
But then it's like we just trade.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Yep. Oh well. Here we are. So, question for you.
Okay.
What is your least favorite animal?
Okay. So, oof.
I do have animals. An immediate answer.
Yes. So mine, well, I don't know. I'll do mine first.
Okay.
Mine's a bird, but that's in like the overarching title of animals.
So not just birds
right.
in general?
No, not one just birds. It is one specific type of bird. I hate seagulls.
Okay.
I hate
that
them.
Makes sense. I get that.
I feel like they do no good for the earth. They're annoying.
So extreme.
They're loud. They steal your food at the beach.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the beach is just like my happy place. I love going to the beach. But then the seagulls are just a nuisance. And so they have earned title of my least favorite animal.
Okay. All right. Seagulls. Well done.
Yeah. Get out of here.
There's a lot of animals out there. You
stay
did
stay out at sea.
Number one. Okay.
What about you, Brian? What is your least favorite animal?
My least favorite animal. I'm going to have to clarify my answer before I actually give it so that this makes sense. So to be fair, I don't know a lot about this animal, but what I do know about it is that I just don't understand it.
Okay.
I understand it. I don't really get it. And this really threw me off. And this is something I could easily just Google. And I haven't yet. One of these days I will. But this was weeks ago at this point. There are little like New York Times games that we play.
Wordle.
Yep. Wordle.
Yeah.
Strands, connections, mini crossword. There's a whole bunch of little New York Times games. And what's great about them is you can only play them like once a day.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's only a little bit of time that is stolen.
Yeah. You can't play Wordle all day long. Yeah. There's one word to solve and then you got to wait till tomorrow.
Right.
It's perfect.
Yep.
So one of the games called Strands, it's kind of like a word search where they'll, you know, it's just a big jumble of letters and they'll give you a theme and you have to connect or you have to find all the hidden words that connect to that theme.
Sure.
One time the theme was, it was like, ouch. And I was like, oh, okay. Or it had something to do with like stinging. Like, ouch, you stung me or something like that.
Sure. So like bees.
And so, yep, immediately I was like, oh, I see hornet. Yeah. I see jellyfish.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going through, scorpion was one of them. I was like, these all make sense. I'm just flying through this thing.
Yeah.
And I get to the last one and I'm like, there's just a few letters left. I'm like, I'm just not seeing it. And I finally figure out what it was. And it was platypus.
Really?
And
platypus.
Maybe they're some kind of stinging animal.
I guess they must be.
I don't know. I'll Google it one of these days.
I did not know that either.
So I think they're my least favorite animal because I don't have like a category to put them in. Right.
I feel like you're not an animal.
I feel like the other animals make sense to me.
Yeah.
That one doesn't make any
There's
sense.
Not a whole lot of mystery.
It's like, are you a little animals. Bit beaver, yeah. a little bit of a duck, a little bit, I don't really know.
Maybe like a, I don't know, a penguin, some, a little bit in there.
Yeah.
So they are bizarre.
They're very
bizarre. Because they're furry, but they're water animals. And apparently they sting.
Apparently.
What yeah. are you?
Yeah, I would understand that.
I would love to have been there for like God's design of that animal. I'm like, what? Is that like just your sense of humor coming out? Like, all right, all these animals like are pretty reasonable. Let's just throw a weird one in there and see if any of these people notice.
Right. And I know people have like made like memes about that kind of thing.
Yes.
Like that scenario of like God and the angels, are
yeah.
like discussing creation.
The spider one is my favorite.
Pudding. Yeah. Yeah. There's a funny joke about like spiders. But, and sometimes I do think in that kind of scenario mm-hmm. and I'm picturing like God had like a certain amount of attributes that were to be distributed among the animals.
Sure. Yeah.
And they got done and there was just one left. And they were like, well, these are the parts that are left.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we've got to use them all.
It's so, made up of the leftover parts.
There's a giant bill. There's some fur. It's like just
the webbed
stick
feet.
Stick yes. it in there. Yeah.
Webbed feet.
So that's how I imagine
yeah.
the platypus came.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that that's your least favorite. It's like, what is even going on here?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get you.
What's your purpose?
Okay. No. So.
Here we go.
Now you know our least favorite animals.
There you go.
I feel okay. like that's more interesting than my favorite animal.
Right. Because usually like favorite is like, because they're cool or cute or yeah. like.
Like to me, know. It's like a lion or a tiger.
Yeah.
It's like awesome, yes. like majestic
yeah.
creature.
Yeah. And then, but like, what's your least favorite?
Yeah.
And let's hear why.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into our topic.
All right.
So we spent not just the last episode, the last couple episodes talking about the two extreme forms of parenting styles that mm-hmm. we see being authoritarian and permissive.
Yep.
And how both are terrible. Both will lead to different forms of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And how you and I have worked hard to kind of meet in the middle.
Right.
And search for answers to the question of like, what is the healthiest form of parenting?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, our approach to that has always been looking to the Father. Because if I can understand who God is as a father, if I can understand his methods of loving us, mm-hmm. his methods of helping us grow and mature,
mm-hmm.
his methods of leading us through difficulty and pain and suffering,
yeah.
he has a way of doing all of those things.
Right.
And the more we can understand how he does that for us, I mm-hmm. think the more we'll be able to implement those methods
yes.
in our parenting
yeah,
with our
absolutely.
Own kids.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our quest.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do things? And what does that mean for me?
Right. Yeah. Because he's the perfect example.
Yes.
To look to see like, okay, when I'm in pain, how do you lead me through this? When mm-hmm. I am celebrating something, what do you do to, you know, join me in that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it can make a huge, huge difference.
Yep.
When you weigh that, like his example against what the world
yeah.
view of parenting is,
mm-hmm.
you can find it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's where we're going to go in this episode, because in the last episode, we talked about one of the reasons people parent the way they do
mm-hmm.
is because it's what their parents did and it's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't really thought much beyond that.
Yeah.
Or it's because it's the opposite of what their parents did.
Right.
Because they didn't like
mm-hmm.
their experience.
Yeah. I was raised this way, so I'm going to do it everything yes. different than you did.
I'm going to swing to the other side.
Yeah.
And often we talked about probably the most common shift is the one like where people grew up in an authoritarian home
mm-hmm.
and they swung all the way over to the permissive side of things.
Yeah.
And they're like, my parents were super strict and controlling.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry. They threatened me all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no connection. It was all just very obedience,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
Focused.
Yep.
And so a lot of people shift and they're like, we're just going to let our kids do their thing. And we're just going to be like super fun, happy time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Woo, yeah. Let's party. I'm just yeah. your friend. Just yeah. like a little older than you.
Right. Yeah. We're just friends. Like, I'm not here to like be like the bad guy, the boss. Right. I'm just, you know, I just want to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, you want some ice cream? Go right. get it.
Go have ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah. I'm not interested in like any of that.
No.
I just want to find what's in the middle of yes. those things.
The healthy balance.
The healthy balance. Two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other thing, and this is what we're going to talk about, the other thing that often influences how we parent is our view of the father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with you and I talking about how our goal in parenting is to understand and perceive the father as clearly as possible mm-hmm. so that we can implement his methods, the thing about that is that requires actually getting to know him as he is.
Yeah.
And maybe that sounds really obvious, but everybody who believes in God has some beliefs or some ideas about him mm-hmm. that are just not quite right.
Yeah.
They may be way off. They may be close.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have a few like distorted images and perceptions of him. And there's reasons for that. We're going to get into that. There's yeah. a reason that we view God the way we do. But if I'm coming to this, because that sounds like a great idea. If I'm coming to this and I'm like, I want to parent the way God does,
mm-hmm.
but I assume that he is like the angry cop in the sky.
Right.
I assume that he's disappointed in me.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that his only interest is my obedience and yeah. any little mistake I make, he's just waiting to punish me.
Mm-hmm.
If that's my perception of him and I think that I ought to be like him, guess how I'm going to be toward my kids.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. And then that's when it gets really dicey for like being like his hands and feet.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing things and saying you're doing it in his name, mm-hmm. but you actually don't even know him.
Yes.
As he is, like you said, then you're actually portraying a totally wrong picture mm-hmm. of who the father is. And yeah. so that gets, you know, really messy really quick when it's like, well, no, I'm parenting how the father parents us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but are you like, have you actually like right. sought him out for who he says he is in the word
mm-hmm.
rather than just basing off who you think he is?
Mm-hmm.
They can be totally different yeah. things.
So I'm going to say this, and I don't want this to ever become like a performance or like a perfection thing.
Sure.
Because newsflash, you're not going to get it all right.
No.
We don't get it all right.
No.
Every listener here who's a parent, they've made mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is just like figuring out. Like yeah. we just had a conversation with Nora. She was wanting to have sleepovers. She's been wanting to have sleepovers.
Yeah.
And so she has not yet been able to understand why we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're just not doing sleepovers.
Yeah.
You know, she'll sleep at my parents' house, your parents' house sure. with cousins.
Yeah.
No problem. But that's the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't understand that. And so she keeps asking like, well, when can I have a sleepover with my friends?
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, Nora, I said, here's what you have to understand. You are the first 7-year-old mom and I have ever had.
Yeah.
So like, we're figuring out how we want things to go with you mm-hmm. for the first time. So
yes.
like, we don't always have an answer. We just know that right now we're not ready for sleepovers.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're our first.
Yeah.
So you'll be the first 10-year-old we have, the first 12-year-old we have.
Right.
And with each of those things, there's going to be new scenarios and situations in which we are figuring out for the first time.
Yeah. We've never done this before.
Like. Yeah.
So we have to kind of take it as it comes
yeah.
in each season and just, you know, seek the Lord on every decision and figure out what we think works best. And
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I think that this is a little bit of a side note, but we can come right back just quick.
Okay.
I think a lot of that is missing in parenting. Just like the transparency.
Sure.
And I want you to hear me right, that I'm not saying like you need to tell your kids everything, tell them all the reasons that you're making every decision for every, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. But like, I think there is a huge value to letting your kids in on your humanity.
Yeah. Hello.
Because that gives you, or that gives them permission to do the same thing as they grow, to yes. realize, hey, I don't have this all figured out, and that's actually okay. Mm-hmm. And then that can push them even closer to the father, as long as you're like modeling that for them of saying like, hey, I'm not really sure what we're going to do here. So we're going to pray about it. We're going to find it. We're going to seek wisdom from other people that we respect mm-hmm. and honor
yep.
and just show them that process that, hey, it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to not be perfect because, like you said, newsflash, that's not going to happen. Like, yeah. And please don't expect yourself to be living in perfection. It just, I think it opens up just a whole new level of connection, of mm-hmm. possibility for connection with your kids when they see that, like, hey, you're human too.
Yes.
You mess up too. You don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think people are afraid that that's going to lead to your kid not respecting you. But I think it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I think that that can build the respect as long as, you know, all of this is, you know, yes. reliant on you doing it well, mm-hmm. of course, as is everything in parenting.
Sure.
But I do think that yeah. a level of transparency is really healthy mm-hmm. when you're raising kids and just saying like, hey, we're figuring this out too.
Yeah.
We're in it together.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Come back to the point.
So the reason I brought that up is that I'm aware, and again, I don't want this to become like a performance or perfectionism mm-hmm. based thing, but I'm fully aware that we, like you and I, are representatives in a way mm-hmm. of God
yeah.
to our girls. Yeah. Now, that may sound crazy heretical. Let me explain what I mean by that. There is a tendency that Christians have. I can't say everybody. Mm-hmm. Christians have. People who believe in the existence of God. There is a tendency that we all have to project our view specifically of our earthly fathers onto God.
Yeah.
And it happens subconsciously. So when I say that like we are representatives of him to our kids, I'm not saying that we are God.
No.
I am saying that as our kids grow up, the image that they have, the first real image and picture that they have of God the Father is mm-hmm. going to come from their experience of me.
Yeah.
Now, I know, thankfully, I know that even in the ways that I make mistakes, the ways I'm going to fail them, mm-hmm. the ways that I'm not always going to be what they need me to be, thankfully, God is so good
yes.
that he can take care of those things.
Absolutely.
And so I don't live in fear that our girls and Ollie are going to grow up and just be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And even like, even if I mess up in a really big way, thankfully, God is so good.
Yeah.
And he's so capable and faithful.
He's so much bigger.
He's so much bigger than my mistakes.
Yeah.
At the same time, I am taking this very seriously. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's not like an excuse to be like, well, God can, you know, I'm just going to kind of
redeem it.
I'll just kind of do whatever. And I'm going to coast as a dad and mm-hmm. maybe I'll be here. Maybe I'll be there. And, you know, if they get messed up, God can fix it.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. Wow. But I'm fully aware that the first idea that they have of who God is as a father is going to come from their experience of me.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I want to know God as accurately as possible.
Yes.
I don't want to have assumptions about him that I have learned from other people, from mm-hmm. other things, other experiences in life.
Yeah.
Because life is filled with hard things, painful things.
Yeah.
People experience suffering. Mm-hmm. And I've worked hard at developing the ability to view my circumstances through the lens of who God is. Mm. So that way I know if I'm going through something hard or yes. painful or difficult, I don't allow the quality of the circumstances that I'm going through to right. determine in my mind the quality of God's character.
Yes.
And so I've worked hard at flipping that because oftentimes we'll view God through the lens of our circumstances mm-hmm. and we'll think, well, life is hard. This hurts. This sucks. Yeah. God must not be good.
Yes.
And so I want to reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken time.
Yeah.
Because like I said, everyone who believes in God has some preconceived ideas of what he's like.
Mm-hmm. Even if you have a really good dad.
Yes.
Still, mm-hmm. like in our humanity, in the fallen world that we live in, like we're not going to be as good
mm-hmm.
as he is in his nature and everything that he does. We can do our very best to model, but there are still going to be shortcomings. So even if you have the best dad in the world, like mm-hmm. God's still better.
Yes.
And so it's not always a negative thing mm-hmm. that you're looking through. Like it can be a really good lens that you're looking through at the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, that's going to fall short of like the reality of his goodness and his kindness and his love that he has for us.
Yeah. And what I'm about to say, we'll say again on the next episode. But sometimes what happens when you have a really good earthly father mm-hmm. is that you feel less of a need yes. to connect with God the Father.
Yeah. Yep.
And
like, I'm fine. Yeah. yeah. I've had yep. a good life.
I've had a really very need, good, need comfortable life. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad were great. They were safe. They yeah. were present. Mm-hmm. You know, they really helped me grow up and succeed in life. And
yeah.
so maybe I don't really think I really need God that much because right. I've kind of learned how to just do it all because I, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that next episode.
Yeah.
Because in the next episode, we're going to go through what we call the six father types.
Mm-hmm.
There are six father types, and everybody has had one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world has experienced one of these six father types.
At least one.
At least
sometimes
one.
Multiple.
But everyone has experienced at least one of them. And it's really important that we talk about this because if we are projecting our view of our earthly father onto God,
mm-hmm.
that's going to have like, that's going to impact how we think about God.
Sure.
But the thing about that is like how you think about him will determine how you approach him.
Mm.
So if he's the scary, angry guy
yeah.
waiting to punish you, I'm not really going to want to have a whole lot to do with him.
Right.
I'll probably believe in him because I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
But yeah. I probably am going to live my life not really thinking that he cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably assume that he's apathetic. And so like, I'll just become apathetic and
sure.
I'll go to church maybe. But again, I just don't want to go to hell. So
right.
I'll do
it's more out of
just
fear.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Than anything.
Yeah.
So going back to what you said earlier about kind of changing that lens around mm-hmm. instead of viewing God through
yeah.
your circumstances. Let's turn that around and view our circumstances through
mm-hmm.
the lens of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your process of doing that and changing that around? Like what practically
yeah.
that can look like?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good question. First I'm going to talk about like a couple verses. So before I talk about practically, I'll talk about like spiritually.
Okay.
A couple of verses that come to mind that one of them I've loved for a really long time. This one is Psalm 119:68. It says, "You are good and you do good."
Mm.
Or "you are good and what you do is good."
Yeah.
The other one that comes to mind, and you could use all kinds of things, all kinds of verses.
Oh, sure. It's all throughout.
For this one, for this example, I'll use 2 Corinthians 9:8. That says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work."
Hmm.
So let's talk about, and there's so many things that God wants to be for us and things that he wants to do for us.
Yeah.
So we could talk about him as the provider, as the comforter,
mm-hmm.
As you know, the helper, the healer.
Yeah.
But we'll use that verse that he loves to bless us.
Mm.
Okay, so remember, God is good and what he does is good. And the question I've often posed to people is this, that if you believe that God is one who wants to bless you, mm-hmm. I think generally that's agreed upon.
Yeah.
He loves blessing his people
mm-hmm.
and he loves providing for us and helping us have what we need.
Yeah.
But the question I often ask people is, do you think that God is good because he blesses you? Or do you think he blesses you because he's good?
Mm-hmm.
And that might sound like the same thing to some people.
Sure.
But it's actually like a completely different way
yeah.
of viewing him
yeah, absolutely.
And why he does what he does. So if I think that God is good because he blesses people,
mm-hmm.
then the quality of his character will be at the mercy of my perception of my current state of blessing.
Right. Yeah.
So if I view my life as not blessed
mm-hmm.
and I look at the people around me and I think, well, they're blessed. They're more blessed than me. Like,
sure.
Look at this guy's house. Look at this guy's car. Look at mm-hmm. this guy's family. And I step into this like state of comparison
mm-hmm.
and I become very like, woe is me.
Yeah.
Then I'm perceiving that I am not blessed, and therefore I will project ideas about God's character onto him.
Yes.
And I will think, well, you must be good to them,
mm-hmm.
but you're not good to me.
Yeah.
And so I am viewing his goodness as something that fluctuates.
Right. It's dependent on
yes.
other things.
But if you can switch that to where you're not viewing God as being good because he blesses you, but you view him as blessing because he's good, then you realize that he's good and his goodness is constant and it's unchanging. And he's good to you and he's good to me and he's good to everybody else. Mm-hmm. This is what he does.
Yep.
Because as David wrote, you are good and you do good things.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true, then that to me is an invitation to reevaluate my life and my circumstances and to think about maybe ways that I've been more blessed than I've previously perceived.
Sure, yeah.
And maybe start to view things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you do that, you start to notice all the little things, you know?
Yeah.
And because it's often the big things, like I mentioned, it's often like, and when I talk about blessing, people love to kind of pigeonhole blessing into like financial
material.
Yeah. And it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So you and I, we don't have like our house. Like I love our house.
Yeah.
I think we could be here a long time.
Amazing. Yeah.
But we have two much bigger houses on either side.
We're the little like cookie cutter huge. One. Right. It's
like, we're not living in like the nicest house.
No.
Right. But I look at my house and I think, wow, I love that we have this. God is so good.
Yeah.
We have one nice car.
Mm-hmm.
We have one car that I'm afraid to leave the city in because I don't know if we'll get back. Right.
Yeah.
But I look at it and I think that car, I've had it for 12, 13 years, at least. I think about 13 years. And so I think, wow, this car has served us well. It's ugly. It's not cool.
Sure.
I think a lot of people would be embarrassed to be seen driving around town in it.
Yeah.
But I think it has served me so well. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful that we have this car.
And we've been able to like lend it out a lot.
We've lent it out to people.
And so it's become a blessing for other people. Like you said, not the most glamorous blessing, but a blessing nonetheless.
Right.
Like I think you're so right that often we hear the word blessing and we think like a big pile of money. We think a shiny new car. We think a big, huge mansion.
Yep.
And like, yes, while those things for sure would be considered blessing, think about all the different ways. Even just like having peace is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Like we can say that like we go through life now at a pretty constant level of peace.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, I will admit, as a mom, that I'm like, I'm having to fight with every fiber of my being to keep my peace right now because the baby's crying. Nora needs something. Izzy needs, just a lot going on. But like, I consider it a huge blessing to be able to carry that peace throughout whatever circumstance we're going through.
Yeah.
So things like that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and I do carry a level of constant peace just in our hearts about life, about our future.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say two things. One, financial things are a blessing, but only to the degree that we actually have a healthy relationship with that. So money can be a blessing or it can be a burden. And it just depends on your relationship with it. And this summer, I'm thankfully, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to speak on this at church. But then this summer, I'll have an opportunity to do a couple more messages on this. So maybe we'll partner the podcast with that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But I'm going to be talking about money because I love talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about our relationship with it. Anyways, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
That money is not inherently a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It is to the degree that we have a healthy relationship with it and know how to use it for what it's meant to be used for. But the other thing I wanted to say is the reason that you and I have cultivated such peace is that Romans 15:13, Paul wrote that, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy as you trust in him.
Yeah.
And you and I haven't worked at cultivating peace. We've worked at cultivating trust.
Yeah.
And as you develop a trust in God, you find that he will fill you with his peace and his joy.
Absolutely.
Because when you trust him, you just stop worrying.
Yeah.
You stop living in fear because you know that he's good.
Yep.
Maybe life doesn't look good right now.
Right.
We're going through something hard right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is painful. I don't understand how he's going to do something good. But what I do know for sure is that he is good and he does good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that has been kind of the foundation for us developing that life of peace.
Yeah.
And I'm going to circle that all the way back to our topic.
Yep.
Is in order to trust him to be good and do good things in all times and all circumstances. Mm-hmm. You have to know him as he is.
Yes.
And one of the ways, this is going to be next episode, and this is so important, you guys. In the next episode, we're going to talk about this. But sometimes, in order to view God as he is, we have to be able to forgive our earthly fathers mm-hmm. for not being everything we needed them to be.
Yeah.
We have to be able to forgive our earthly fathers for the ways that they taught us to think about God differently than mm-hmm. as he really is.
Yeah.
So some of us had abusive fathers. Mm-hmm. Some of us had absent fathers.
Yeah.
Some of us had performance-oriented fathers. Mm-hmm. Legalistic, there are all these different things that we yeah. could have experienced that will cause us to view God differently
right.
than how he actually is. And unfortunately, if we see him differently than as he is, we can't develop the kind of trust that leads to mm-hmm. this type of peace and this type of joy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because you're always going to have a little bit of distance mm-hmm. put up yeah. between, or just a little hesitance when yeah. you're approaching him. Like I think you mentioned that before, like how you believe him to be affects yep. so much how you approach him.
Yep.
Because if you have a view that he is abusive or scary or mean, you're not going to go really vulnerable yep. and with everything laid out on the table mm-hmm. for him. You're going to go and say like, hey, like, I hope everything's mm-hmm. okay. You know, yeah. really like tiptoeing around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you have a correct view, then...
Yeah.
And only then are you able to really fully enter into his presence, mm-hmm. just totally surrendered.
Right.
And just as you are too.
Yeah.
You're able to go to him 100% real mm-hmm. as you are when you understand who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We can boldly approach his throne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have that to look forward to next episode.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Great. So to everybody listening, we have a couple of favoroonies to ask you for. I'm so sorry that I said favoroonies, but I'm going to go with it.
We are committing.
A couple of favors. Number one, if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you're watching this, could you do us a huge favor? Like this video and subscribe. That's a very small thing that you could do that helps us in a very big way. If you are listening on any podcast platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a favor, if you have found any value in our content, if you could leave us a good review, that's also a very small thing that you could do that helps us in a very big way. And I think that's going to be it. Okay.
All right.
Great. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.